Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon, everyone. What's good, Midnight Prayer Watch? We are so grateful that you have decided to tune in with us. I am your most humble host, Delta, coming back at you again. And we are live for Midnight Prayer Watch. We have been having some deep conversation in the last couple of watches live. And today I felt as if this may also start to shake up some things in you. So we're going to be talking about foxes in your vineyard tonight. And if anybody knows that allusion to what the word says about foxes in your vineyard, we might be getting a little personal. We might be getting a little in your business tonight, and it's not intentional, but that's just us kind of laying out there the things that have been revealed in the word and the things the Holy Spirit has ministered to us. And when you start to feel some conviction or some pricking or some uncomfortable feelings, that ain't us. That is not us. And that's exactly where deliverance takes place. That's exactly where revelation comes, is when you open the door to Holy Spirit to reveal to you those things that they got to go. Got to get those foxes out of your vineyard. And so we will be going in and pressing into that prayer point tonight after we get through the intercessory prayer time. So as we get into intercessory prayer, I want to invite everybody, just get into your prayer space, whatever that safe space may be. Then I invite you to get there now. Get some time to just allow the Lord to start ministering to your heart. This is just a position that, a posture rather, where you can really just be open and be free and be honest with yourself in what it is that you would like to hear the Lord in, and to also ask Him to start to reveal those things that may be holding you back. They may be holding you back. There may be people in your life that are stopping you from moving into the next season or burdening you down. Oh my goodness. So this is that time to be intentional about this getting on the tower. This is why we do this at midnight, because we are complete advocates for what it says in the word. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the disciples asked what we can do, He said, what? Watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. And so we are committed to that scripture, to continue to watch and pray and make sure that we're staying awake at midnight, because we are not going to fall victim to the enemy's agenda or their plans to kill, steal, or destroy us. So as we enter into intercessory prayer, I invite you all again to just get into your prayer closets, your secret space, wherever you feel most comfortable, to allow the Lord to minister to you. So I'm going to go ahead and get us started now. Father, we come to you, Lord, just thanking you and praising you. We honor you, Father, for this time that you have given us to just be in your presence, Father. Lord, our hearts are hardened in areas that we don't even know. Father, I just ask right now that you would send a sweeping in the Spirit to start softening hearts, to begin to reveal to us areas that we have blocked you from even accessing. Even those areas inside of our hearts, Lord, that are still not completely turned to what you have for us, like not repentant, that are continuing to be stubborn about committing directly to what you've said that we need to do. Father, I ask that you would just start to stir up inside of us. Start to stir up those feelings that we have pushed down, those feelings that we have repressed to try to maybe unknowingly protect ourselves from experiences that we have endured. Start to stir up those feelings, Father God, that we have denied because they were too painful for us to face at that moment. Lord, we don't ask for these feelings to come up because we want to be in that same space again, but we ask for your partnership during this time. We ask for you to tenderly hold us as we deal with these areas that are sensitive to us. We deal with these areas that are deep wounds or even things that we have been ashamed of to admit, Father God. We ask, Lord, that you would just help us manage through these experiences in a healthy way and help us to have a safe space to come to you and to walk alongside of you and partner with you as we unpack and you unearth and break off of these things from us, these areas that have been bondages, these experiences that have left scars, even these wounds that are still very new, very open. Lord, we just ask for your help this evening. Father, we know that you have sent the ultimate helper to us and that he leads, guides us, and directs us into all truth. But we ask you, Father God, knowing that when we look up to the hills, where does that help come from? But it comes from you, Lord. And we just ask you right now, Father, for a very simple request, just to help us, Father, in these feelings, in these areas that we know are just tender. We ask you, Lord, to come in and reveal to us anything that is blocking us from being able to see clearly, not just in the natural, but also, Father, in the spirit. For we know that you said in your word that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this age and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And so, Father, we need your protection as we war in the spirit going into this midnight hour. Father, we need you as we fight these battles, as we weather these storms with your help. We can't do it without you, Father. And so we put on your whole armor, Father God, as we enter into this new day or as we enter into this new hour, whichever time zone we're in. We put on your whole armor, Father God, to stand in the evil day and to withstand against the wiles of the devil. And so right now I declare and decree that your armor is being placed over everyone under the sound of my voice, starting with the belt of truth that's girding our waist, putting on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts, to protect our chest, to connect our armor all together with the belt of truth. And we're shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace right now. For Lord, we know that wherever we go, we bring your shalom peace, Jehovah shalom peace with us. And we know, Father, that when we are standing on the battlefield, you said that you go before us and fight our battles, and we should fall back and hold our peace rather during that time. And so we thank you for the shoes of the gospel of peace that bring us into your peace, into your rest, Father God. Oh, Father, we ask right now that you would just release a supernatural peace over your people, over anyone under the sound of my voice, Father God, a peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, a peace that we cannot describe or ascribe to anything happening, any formula, any equation, but it's only you, Father God, that it could be sent from. Lord, we ask for that peace right now to arrive. Oh, as we walk in the path of the least trodden, as we walk closer, drawing closer to you and knowing that you draw closer to us. And above everything else, Lord, we take the shield of faith right now, with which we will be able to extinguish all fiery darts from the wicked one. And so any darts that are being sent at us in the spirit, oh, Father, right now, they are extinguished. Their power is made null and void. Oh, Lord, they may hit our armor. We might feel a bruise, but Lord, that thing right there, oh, Father God, we know that that fiery dart is going to not destroy us. And so we take up the shield of faith right now. We take it up, Father God, and we ask you, Lord, to help us to hold it up anytime a dart comes from the enemy. Lord, I put on everybody under the sound of my voice the helmet of salvation. And we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of you, Yah, praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Oh, Father, we know that you've equipped us. You have qualified us. You have given us all of the tools that we need necessary in order to weather the storms here on this fallen earth. And we thank you, Father, that it is with your help that we are able to move forward, knowing that this world is not our home and that we are just passing through. And we are just a vapor, Father. We are just dust on this earth. And that you are the one that will see us through any hardship, that will see us past any enemy attackers, that will put us in position to be able to still see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so right now, Father, I just call forth the blessings of the former and the latter rain. I call forth right now an opening of the windows of heaven over everyone under the sound of my voice, Father. I call forth, Lord, that anything that is done in your name, Father God, they will be blessed when they go, blessed when they come. They will be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, that they are the head and not the tail. They are above and never beneath. That they are the lender and never the borrower, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you will rebuke the devourer from their land and from anything that their hand produces. And we declare it all in the mighty name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen. Okay, y'all, so we are pressing forward. As you heard, there's so much that's taking place in all of our lives. And the one thing that I continue to hear in the spirit is that we want so much to understand it, that we want to rationalize these things before we move forward, that we want it to make sense. But there are times and there are countless examples in the word where stuff does not make sense, but God moves. And he moves in that space, in that illogical. I mean, who knew that all of Jericho's walls would come tumbling down when they marched around it and blew the trumpets? Can we be real about this? Like, if that were to happen today, yeah, we know it as a Bible study and we celebrate it as we do our Bible stories and studies and things like that. Oh, that's cool. You know, that's great. And everybody knows it. But if it was to happen today, how many of us, not precluding us here, Midnight Prayer, how many of us would be looking at that situation with like, What are these fools doing? We got to be real about these things. And then we wonder why we're looking around for God to show miracles, signs, and wonders. And we're like, well, what happened? Did that happen? Did I not see it? That's because we're too busy trying to have him fit into what we want it to be, as opposed to us submitting and surrendering to what he is going to do working through us. It's all about surrender this season, y'all. It's all about surrender. So keep that in your prayers, is for us to not be so blinded or short-sighted to inhibit the spirit from moving the way it wants to move. Because I know I get to that place where I want it to just fit right into my little box. I want it to look exactly like this. Or if I see something, I've got to go through the paces in my mind, overanalyze and overthink. And it's got to be like this. And nope, I don't think that counts, because if it was God, then it would look like A, B, C, and D. But oh my goodness, so many countless stories in the Bible, examples that all were true. And we wonder why we're over here like, nope, haven't seen a miracle from God in so long. He moves in the illogical, everybody. He moves there. So this prayer point tonight, we're talking about foxes in your vineyard. And the reason why I really wanted us to start unpacking this tonight specifically is because there is this expectation that we have about, you know, the people that we let in close to us. And there's a level of, I wouldn't say it's like trust, blind trust, I guess you could say, but it's also naivete that's kind of mixed in there as well. So I wanted to go back and really just understand a few of these like terminologies. Because when we talk about, are there foxes in your vineyard? I don't know if people really understand what is a vineyard as it relates to this context. And then what do foxes look like? So we're going to go there, and then Holy Spirit is going to move. I know he's already moving anyway, but we want to just invite him to come in and not inhibit, not me inhibit him in any kind of way on how this might be ministering to you. Because as we say all the time, Midnight Prayer Watch, it don't matter how many people have joined us, but if it is just one person that this thing is for, we know that we are in right position. So let's start with the definition of a vineyard. So I think people are pretty much on the same page as far as what vineyards are. I think vineyards are likened to going to a wine vineyard, right? Going to a winery. And these days they're, you know, acres long. And that's mainly where you see the starting process of where wine comes from. And so for those of you that have been to a vineyard, you know that in the vineyard is different types of grapes, muscadines, there's another word that's out here in Georgia, starts with an S. I forgot the name of the grape. Somebody's gonna probably make fun of me tomorrow when they figure out what I'm trying to say. But there's grapes in the vineyard, right? So I digress a little bit. When we get to what is a vineyard in terms of the context of, are there foxes in your vineyard? The same correlation takes place, where what does it take for a grape to be grown? It takes you to till the land. It takes you to make sure you have the right soil. It takes you to make sure that you have the right fertilizer. and you're tilling the land. You're laboring in that space, belongs to you. And so as you are referring to your vineyard, think about it in terms of this is the space in which you labor to produce fruit. Okay, so let's start with that as kind of the building block. So we've got this space where we are spending a lot of time. We have a mission. We want this harvest to be plentiful. Okay, who wants to be out here laboring in the hot sun? Wants to be shoveling manure, wants to be tilling the land from sunup to sundown every day, checking to see if there's any growth, checking to see how much more water we need to add, all that good stuff. Too much sun, what's going on? Who wants to do all of that and there not be a lot of product? There not be a lot of fruit that. I don't know about y'all, but I ain't trying to be out there all day in the hot sun and I get three grapes. I'm putting in that work. I am putting in that work because I want to see a whole slew of grapes. I want to see a whole branch full of grapes. Okay. I want to have grapes for days. If I'm out there in the land, okay? That is the context of vineyard. So now let's get to foxes in the vineyard. So are there foxes in your vineyard is our prayer point. And here's one of the scriptures I want us to really start unpacking this fox definition, because I know foxes traditionally are associated with like tearing up your gardens and getting to your fruit or getting to the things that don't belong to them. Okay, Little Red Riding Hood comes to mind. So in Song of Solomon, this is a really good book. If anybody has not done a study on Song of Solomon, love this book, especially when it comes to correlating how the Lord has given us permission to be in an intimate relationship. So Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. So this is a Shulamite kind of talking through with Solomon, who is kind of like a love letter to the between the two of them, I guess you can say, the way that Song of Solomon is presented in the word. And so the Shulamite is like talking about like how before she's discussing like what's been going on with her relationship with Solomon during this time. She's like really getting into a space where she's wanting their relationship to go forward. That this is no longer dating. This is no longer, you know, we just DMing and, you know, we just kind of kicking it with each other. But I really want this thing to be serious, Solomon. So let's figure out how do we clean this thing up? And that's, of course, me paraphrasing what's really in the word, which, you know, anybody that's been on a watch before, you know how I do. So as it relates to our prayer point, the Shulamite is saying she is wanting to catch the foxes in order to move forward in the relationship, to be more solid, to be more intimate, to be like, yeah, I'm about that life. I'm about you, Solomon. Like, what we got to do here? So interesting that she's saying, in order to do this cleanup, what do we have to do? Catch the foxes that are in our vineyard. Oh, because the foxes are spoiling the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. So let's kind of break down this scripture, because if we're talking about catching the foxes, so that means that as we went into this situation together, and we're talking about like everybody having their own vineyard. But now we're trying to come together. We're going to bring our vineyards together. Oh, isn't that what happened back in the Old Testament days? Like you bring your land together when somebody's coming together, husband, wife, and then you're like, okay, we're going to join together the family. The land comes together. The things that are valuable become one. And that even goes back to how they say that when a man leaves his parents, he cleaves to his wife and they become two, become one. So now we have this one vineyard. And so we've got to clean up our land together. And that means that as our land was, there were foxes in those vineyards. That means that we came with baggage. We wasn't already clean. And so as we're talking about, are there foxes in our vineyard? There's an expectation that before we can come together as one, we have stuff that needs to go, that we need to get rid of, that is excess, that are unwanted in order for us to keep our vines not spoiled. And so these foxes that have been roaming around are in the vineyard that are taking from the end of the scripture that says the tender grapes. And what did we just talk about? What happens in a vineyard? Like you're literally trying to produce fruit. That we talk about having a harvest. We talk about having an abundant harvest. We talk about tilling the land and getting out there to a position where the fruits of our labor are such that we can show and demonstrate that we are continuing to produce fruit and that we ourselves are not the ones that are going to be doing the pruning process. I mean, this kind of goes back to even what the word says, that Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and that the Lord Abba is the vine dresser. And he's pruning us, the branches, so we can do what? Produce more fruit. And so thinking about that in context to the foxes, how can we produce more fruit? Because that's the ultimate goal. That's what Abba is looking to get out of us as he's pruning us, as we're connected to Jesus, if we got foxes in the vineyard. We got to get the foxes out the vineyard first, or anything that we produce is going where? In the fox's belly? The fox is going to steal it, going to eat it. He's going to take it. It's not even going to get good. It's not even going to get good on the vine. It's going to be gone. We're not even going to be able to catch it before we see it. So this is where I want us to really think about this question. Are there foxes in your vineyard? Because how are you going to produce fruit if you got these foxes roaming around? You're not even going to know the fruit is there because a fox is going to get it that quick. So let's keep going with this, because the foxes are everywhere. Like, this is the thing, is that with a fox, which is an animal that we have traditionally likened to the characteristics of sly, like sly fox, of crafty, of deceiver, clever. I mean, like, let's go back to nursery school, okay? I'm just trying to make this real for us. But when Little Red Riding Hood was out here trying to get to grandma's house, what did the fox wanted to eat her? We're just talking about the fox trying to eat the grapes. Then what did he do to try to get her to believe? He tricked her. He deceived her. He employed some crafty, some clever tactics to try to get her to fall for these schemes. And, you know, even though there's another nursery rhyme where it talks about the fox is like trying to get the sheep, I think it is, to go across the river or the brook. And like, somebody help me with this one because I can't remember this one so well. I'm not sure if this is American nursery rhyme or not, but the sheep had to get across the brook, and in order to do that, the fox tried to convince some of the sheep to ride on top of his belly in order to get across, and some of them fell for it. And then some were like, whoa, I don't know about all that now. You know, we got to have some conditions. We got to sign an NDA, whatever, whatever, whatever. So, in any case, y'all can see my point. Like, foxes have traditionally been known to be up to some mess. Mischievous is a good word to put it as well. And so, as we think about this in terms of what could a fox be to you today, and you're assessing your vineyard now that we've laid out what is a vineyard, what should be coming from it, what is the expectation that the Lord is looking to have manifest from it, how do you tend to it, right? Now it's like, okay, well, how can I identify these foxes? I want you to think about, like, really, and maybe this is something even that you have got to take with you into prayer and invite Holy Spirit to start showing to you who could be the foxes in your vineyard, because we're not talking about literal animals here, okay? We are talking about those people or things that you are in agreement with that are stealing your fruit. Let's think about this. So, can a fox be someone that you may be in a trusting relationship with? Maybe a fox can be someone that you have even potentially grown up with. And it may not even be someone that is that far away, like maybe a childhood friend, but could a fox even be a family member? Here's one place that I want us to take a peek at really quickly, because I want you all to see that there have been people that have been characterized as foxes, even in the word. So the first one I want us to talk about is Saul's uncle. Now, this is what I got from this scripture. And this is at the time where Saul had just met Samuel. Didn't know Samuel for nothing. Samuel was ready for him, though. He had set aside the feast. This is the first time he told Saul, you're going to be king, get ready. And then Saul's like, what, me? I'm just a Benjamite. You know, what do you want me talking about? So, in any case, Saul goes back after he left Samuel and after he done found the donkeys and all that kind of stuff. And now his uncle was asking him, like, yo, what happened? Like, you've been gone and you just was going to try to find your father's uncles and we haven't seen you. Like, tell us about your travels, whatever. He mentions that he sees Samuel along the way. And so, picking up in 1 Samuel 10:15, it says, and Saul's uncle said, Saul's uncle was a little thirsty, y'all. I just want to say in this scripture, he said, tell me, please, what Samuel said to you. So, like I said, I know I said it very thirstily because that's how I interpret it, thirstily being a word. I don't know, but I think it helps characterize what I envision. Like, okay, Saul's uncle, his name is Abner. We find out later he becomes a commander of Saul's army when Saul becomes king. He out here like, whoa, you done met Samuel? What happened? Like, can you imagine this in today's where? What happened, bro? What's good? Like, tell your uncle what's good. Like, what you got something to say from it? Like, what did he say about our family? Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, going back to what the word actually says, not my interpretation. So Saul said to his uncle, He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found. Kept it straight to the point, short and sweet. Just like any man would do. Just black and white. It is what it is. Here you go. Now back to the scripture. But about the matter of the kingdom, he did not tell him what Samuel had said. Oh, wait a second. Unc was all over him. Unc was like, yo, what happened? Tell me everything, pretty much, right? And Saul was like, yeah, I'm going to tell you, we found the donkeys. But he specifically left out to his uncle. He don't know Samuel from nobody. He just met Samuel. He just broke bread with Samuel. Unc probably been around his whole life. Unc probably showed him how to tend to the donkeys. Unc probably had a whole like sweet 16 or whatever for Samuel. I mean, for Saul. Who knows? But Saul knew somehow. It had to be a spiritual thing, okay? Because Saul was out there prophesying before he came home. But he said, but about the matter of the kingdom, about what Samuel told him, said, you about to be king, get ready. God has appointed you. He did not tell him what Samuel had said. Wonder why? I wonder why. Hey. For anybody right now that is in a position that feels like just because somebody asks you what's going on, what's happening here in this corner of your life or in this stage or whatever phase you got going on, even if it's a family member, this example right here gives us permission to leave out some details. Hello, somebody. Did we just help somebody, Holy Spirit, right now? Holy Spirit's out here freeing people. Listen, you do not have to be just offering up information just because somebody asked you. What? Where they do that at, y'all? And clearly, that's not where where the Lord is saying we need to do that at. And so let's keep it moving, because I think this is something too that I felt like as well. And I'm going to briefly just touch on this, not necessarily go deeply into the scripture, but as we talk about foxes and who foxes could be, we just said potentially they could be family members. They could be people that we think we can trust in our circles. I mean, it's literally someone that is taking from your harvest. And so only you and the Lord can do that searching, can do that seeking, can do that assessment of who is around you or who may be around you and you haven't seen it revealed yet completely, that you yourself have to get in front of him and say, Father, reveal to me those foxes, and start to close the gates to your vineyard. Just like how Saul was like, yo, Unc, we just found the donkeys, and specifically did not tell him about I'm about to be king. Who knows why? It doesn't say it in the word. I got to check out the Apocrypha to see if they go any deeper, but it doesn't say in, it was, I think this is the New King James Version. Let me check real quick. Yeah, it doesn't say in NKJV why Saul was like, yeah, I'm going to leave that part out. But as we can see in certain different examples, that there are people, and it's not like they're ill-intended, right? Let's be clear that some people just be operating out of a spirit and don't even know they're operating out of a spirit. We said already in the beginning of the broadcast, like, we wrestled not against flesh and blood, but against what? Powers and principalities and things in the spirit. And so there are things that we just don't know about that we could be creating unintended consequences in our vineyard because we are, I don't know, how you want to say this, but sometimes we like to talk about ourselves. Sometimes we like to just hear ourselves talk. Sometimes we just like to be like, yeah, this going here. I got this going on, and I'm about to be with this person, and we about to be doing this, and we taking over this, and we're running the city here, and all. Sometimes we need to be more mindful, because there might be a conversation we're having with someone that is a fox. And those foxes, as we have recounted in the nursery school stories, the nursery rhymes, we talked about Little Red Riding Hood, we talked about the gingerbread man and the fox. Thank you, Sister Lon, for helping us keep in mind what that was. That these foxes out here are not just out here being themselves, like you could just spot them, but they are crafty, they are slick. They are in disguise. They are meant to trick you, deceive you. It's not easy to identify them. And that's why we need Holy Spirit to come in and to reveal to us, to get into a place where we ask him to show us, put a spotlight on that person. That's what I ask all the time, is like, spotlight that thing that might be growing inside of me. I could be stopping my vineyard from producing more fruit even. I could be operating out of a spirit that is stopping the fruit from being produced at a high level. That's another thing, is like, are you operating in a fox's spirit? We got to be honest about that. Like, you already know, we keep it real on Midnight Prayer Watch. Sometimes we ourselves are inhibiting our own vineyard from creating more fruit. Woo! Sometimes that's us. And we got to know. We got to know that that's something that doesn't bring condemnation, okay? That's where Holy Spirit brings conviction. And then from there, we ask for his help. We ask for his help to come in and to reveal to us the thing that we need to get right on. We need to get right. We need to be repentive about. We need to confess and ask for him to fill us with the fruit of the Spirit and take out of us, help us to get disassociated with that level of fox-like character. All right. So, recap. Your vineyard is where you are producing your fruit. Where are you soiling, toiling at? Where are you spending your time? Where are you feeling like this is where I want all of this to manifest? And where the Lord is pruning you to manifest more. And foxes are not just people that are clearly identified, but they can be the closest people to you. They can be your family. They can be your friends. They can be inside of you. They have got to be uprooted. And we declare and decree right now that Holy Spirit is putting a spotlight on those foxes, that you may even need to be creating a fox potential list. So you can go in your prayer closet. You can go in your prayer time and ask Holy Spirit to start revealing to you, are these foxes? Is this person safe? Or do I need to put them on a watch list? Do I need to be mindful about the things that I say? Do I need to be cautious? I don't want anybody to think I gotta cancel culture these foxes, because we're people. We're all people. We all fall into mistakes. We're all are fallible. Nobody's perfect. So this is not cancel culture situation, but this is pray for those people. Pray for them to get out of operating as foxes and ask for wisdom. And how do you operate with them inside of your circle and inside of the information that you share, inside of the things that you participate in with them? All of that stuff is where we want to start to ask Holy Spirit to do the work inside of us, because he is the helper that has been given to us for these things that we cannot see, that we do not know. And we are actually in this position to be able to edify one another, because just like I said, and I might drop the bomb on some people because I know that could be a hard pill to swallow. It could be us. We could be stopping our own selves from producing more fruit because we're operating in a deceptive way. And how you do that is it's very odd, but it can happen because if you are a fox in your own vineyard, you are stopping yourself from being able to produce more fruit. You're taking from your own vineyard. That's a self-deprecating type of behavior that can only exist because of a lie that the enemy has sown in as a seed. And so we want to uproot those lies, y'all. We want all the lies to go, and we declare it and we call forth right now truth. And the truth that will set us free is in Yahushua HaMashiach, because whom the Son sets free is truly free indeed. And he is said in his word that he is the way, the life, and the truth. No man comes to the Father but through him. And so we are declaring that all lies have to go right now in everybody's vineyard, and that there is a truth dew that is settling on your land. So when you wake up in the morning, that morning dew is settling truth on your vineyard, on your land, in Yahushua's name. And when you wake up and you see without seeing, and you know without knowing, you already know what time it is. You got to do the work in your land to uproot those lies, get those foxes out of there, and do what the Shulamite was saying, to tend to your tender grapes. So that way, two vineyards, the land, can come together as one clean and get those little foxes away. All right. So if this is something that you have heard and are like, what in the world? What is the foxes? What is the nursery rhymes? Who is this Jesus that we've been talking about this evening? And I know that there is someone that the Lord has been working on your heart. If you are just listening in, and this is not the first time that you've heard, there can be any fruit that you are producing through what the Lord has for you if you do not have a relationship with Jesus. It is that deep and so simple. As we said, Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And Abba Father is the vine dresser. He's the one that's pruning us. He's the one that's taking away the dead leaves so that we can produce more fruit in our seasons. And so if we are disconnected from the vine, Jesus, then we will be cast out into the fire. And nobody wants to be cast out into the fire. Nobody wants to be in a position where, come the day of your judgment, you're in this position where you're like, what in the world am I doing? Because I'm not sure that I know where I'm going. What have I done with this time? And so if you are that person, if you are in a position where you're ready to make a decision for your eternal life, then I humbly ask that you pray this prayer with us. We recite it together and accept him into your heart and your life. It says in the word of Romans that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that you are a sinner and you need a savior, and you ask Jesus into your heart and ask him to save you, that you'll be saved. So simple. And so we have this salvation prayer that we are encouraging you to say with us so that you can start that path with him today, that relationship. So say this with us. God, I come to you asking for forgiveness. I confess that I am a sinner in need of a savior. I believe that you sent your son, Yahushua, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, paying the penalty for my sins. And he was raised from the grave and is alive right now and coming again. I confess you as my Lord and personal Savior. Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. In your name I pray. Amen. Woo, y'all. I know there's somebody out there. We are rejoicing with you. Yes. Oh, you said that prayer. Guess what? Not only are we rejoicing with you, Midnight Prayer Watch, but the word says all of heaven stops. All of heaven, all the angels, heavenly hosts, everybody stops and rejoices for one person that their name is written into the Lamb's Book of Life, and that you are now a part of the heavenly family. You are grafted in. And so we are so excited for you. You are starting that new journey today. And if you are in a position where you're like, so now what? What do I do now? What am I doing at this point? Where can I go? I'm on fire. I'm ready to do the next thing. We invite you to join our community. We invite you to join the community in your local church or your local resource groups to start that support system. It's important for us, as we talk about community all the time. We are a body of believers, and the body cannot operate or function without the other members. And so it's important that you stay connected. We know the enemy likes to do work in isolation. He likes to cut us off from each other. Thus, the things that we have seen over the last few years and the agendas that we have seen playing out, because the enemy is in that playground of isolation. So we encourage you to get connected, either get connected to our community, which we would love to still even invite you in, and get connected to your local community and resources, churches, support groups, all these associations that are here just to support you during your discipleship steps, or even as you continue to grow in your faith as a believer and reestablishing your relationship with the Lord. So stay connected to us, y'all. We are continuing to press in this season. And so we just thank y'all again. You know, here at Midnight Prayer Watch, we continue to say that it is not easy for any of us. It is not easy for any of you all. We are in a position where we have got to be the light of the world, y'all. We have got to be the salt in this earth, because everybody's going one way and they're getting swept away in the current. But what they need to do is take a step back and understand that the Lord is not expecting you to conform to this world. But he said, be ye not conformed to this world, but be renewed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we have got to stay up, y'all. Stay up, stay up, stay up. I don't know how many times I got to say it. This is why we are on at midnight. This is why the Lord was like telling me when we first started Midnight Prayer Watch at midnight, of course, Midnight Prayer Watch at midnight, that it was like, listen, it's not about to be about the likes. It's not about to be about the views. It's not about to be about the comments. It's literally, I'm doing this thing. And I got checked a few times. I admit it, I had to get checked a few times. Like, well, you know, we went a little bit sooner, but it is literally these hours that people are going through it. We are going through it. And this is the time we have to intercede. This is the time where we have to be vigilant and remain in his presence, because he's the one that goes before us and fight our battles. He's the breaker that goes before us and passes through the gate, creates that smooth path for us to go behind him, y'all. He is the one, and we have to give him all the praise and do those things in advance, because we know him, not because of what he does for us. And that is something that is not easy to to swallow every day. That's why we crucify our flesh every day, because the flesh wants what the flesh wants. And so, as we say all the time, y'all, stay up. Stay alert this season. Watch out for these foxes, y'all. Find them. Holy Spirit will help you find them. So stay alert. And do what, everybody? Stay washed in the Word. Mm-hmm.